child. Hear the flute and the pipes resounding. He is born the holy child. Sing to Mama the infant mild. Through 4,000 years on earth, prophets have foretold his coming. Through 4,000 years on earth, we awaited the Savior's birth. He is born the holy child. Hear the flute and the pipes resounding. He is born the holy child. Sing to welcome the infant mild.
He is born the holy child. Hear the flute and the pipes resounding. He is born the holy child. Sing to welcome the infant mild. Was that beauty, John, or thine? All perfection, grace undying. Was that beauty, John, or thine? This thou of me, child divine. He is born a holy child. Hear the flute and the pipes resounding. He is born a holy child. Sing to welcome the infant mild. Sing to welcome the infant mild.
Grace and peace to you. It is so wonderful to be back. We've literally fought our way through the mists this morning to the light of God. Hear the Old Testament scripture from Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. And the Lord said, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make. I will put my law within them. I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall they teach one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities. I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord. And from the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 and 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Personal question, the one that Dawn raised. When you give someone your word, do you always keep it? I don't mean good New Year resolutions. Some have bust those already. But today, the year's first Sunday, our church offers us a new life resolution that's the only one we'll ever need to make and ensures us that we can keep it. Let's underestimate. Keeping your word isn't always easy. You and I have dear ones who are good Christians, whom we love and admire, yet they stood before God's altar, looked into the eyes of a beloved, and vowed, "I will honor and cherish you till death do us part," and then reneged, betrayed their vow. You yourself may be one who broke your solemn word before God. It isn't always easy. The question, I guess, is, does it matter very much? Does our word not matter as much as it used to? In my dad's day, you know, they used to have a phrase, "His word is as good as his bond." I haven't heard that in a while. I saw on a tombstone, "He honored his word as he did the word of his God." Would your family be likely to put that on your tombstone? I wonder if Jephthah's family carved it on his. You remember Jephthah, Judges 11? He made a vow, kept it, and disgusts everyone who hears about it. He was the son of a prostitute, rejected by the legitimate brothers, grew to be a fierce warrior, such that when his people, Israel, fought the Ammonites, life or death, they turned to him for help. He agreed to lead them. Maybe now he'd show his brothers who's worthy. But to do that, he had to win. And anyway, the fate of his people depended on his winning. So before the battle, he made a vow. If it were granted him to get home victorious, whoever first came out to greet him, he would sacrifice as a burnt offering. In war, sometimes we make rash promises. He won, turned for home, and here running to him, dancing with joy, was his young daughter, their only child. And he'd given his word. His honor was at stake. He told her. She understood, accepted her father's will, and he sacrificed her. Doesn't it make you weep? It did the women of Israel, who, the Bible says, went year by year to lament. Surely there are times when you must renege on your promise. It's a hard question, though. When you give your word, on what possible grounds can you break it? Well, I believe on the grounds of compassion. I believe it because of Jesus. Although it is true that when Matthew, Mark, and Luke report his tussle with the Pharisees on this specific Mosaic law, Matthew understood him one way and Mark and Luke another, so there's little clarity there. But it's to Jesus' whole ministry we look for guidance in this, as in everything. For Jesus is all love throughout his ministry, on to the cross, and far beyond. He can put in one sentence his way, his truth, his life. It is this: be compassionate as God is compassionate. That's Luke 6:36. Be compassionate as God is compassionate. What is God like? This is the heart of Christianity. What is God like? Compassionate. How are we to live? Compassionately. What is God like? Jesus tells a parable of a prodigal son, all about a forgiving father. How are we to live? Jesus tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan, all about helping someone who needs help. It's about our caring compassion. That's Christianity. Our faith is that this one time in history came a man utterly transparent to God, letting nothing in him distort God's love or impede it, living it out, speaking it out, such that those who saw him, heard him, full of grace and truth, knew that this was the Word of God, live, true, complete. Time and again in the Gospels, Jesus speaks caringly to, a lame man at a well, to despairing lepers, to a woman hemorrhaging in the crowd, to a blind man. And his caring words heal them and lift them and change them. We can only stand in awe. This is beyond our understanding. This is miracles. This is divinity. In Luke 6, Jesus' words to a mentally ill man set him free for a good life, and the onlookers can only say, Jesus' words make things happen. It's a mystery to us, but it's the truth. And we know it's the truth because it's still his words still work for us. His Sermon on the Mount can shape our entire morality. His parables can tell us who God is, who we are, and how we're to live. His caring for the least shows us the one quality of life that Jesus says lasts forever. This is divinity speaking, and that's kind of beyond us. And yet, they're human words. They're our kind of words. They're dictionary words. You can look them up. You can repeat them. And the secret, I think, is that there are two things about Jesus speaking that we can understand, that we can not only understand, but we can imitate. We can do ourselves. One is, his words are full of love. And the other is, he knows they're true. From the depth of his heart, he knows they're true. Now, you can do this. And when you do, things happen. When you speak from deep love, what's true for you, things happen. For instance, when you stand and say with devotion and honesty the Pledge of Allegiance, the words can lift you to a new commitment. Can't they? Don't they? Every time you do it, you have a moment, although this is relevant. Believe me when I suggest that though when you say the pledge, you are properly moved and find new commitment. But you can hardly conceive how precious it is when an immigrant says it for the first time. Let me share my favorite story about this. Imagine us, 1966, New Jersey Federal Court. All rise. The judge enters, sits, all sit, except one small nervous man who, quite out of order, runs to the judge's dais and says, excuse me, Your Honor, excuse me. I'm very sorry, but I'm a worry. I don't think you're going to give me my citizenship. I've studied hard. I've studied every night. I've studied all the constitutioni. I've studied all the mandamentes. I know them all by heart. I know a pledge of allegiance by heart, in my heart. But I don't think you're going to give me my citizenship because I don't speak English good. And the judge bangs his gavel and he says, as long as I'm sitting on this bench, you're going to get your citizenship. And we stand together and we put our hands on our hearts and we say in great unison, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's life-changing. Oh, here's another personal example of true words filled with love, changing life. I offer humbly and gratefully. Almost 70 years ago, a boy said to a girl, I love you. And he said it true. And she responded true from her heart. And they are true words of love, made a new life for them. And 5 children, and 10 grandchildren, and 12 great-grandchildren, and a lifetime of happiness. Mere human words did that because they're true and filled with love. Now think what God's words can do when they're true for you and filled with love. When you speak words of faith that are both touched with the divine and yet human, understandable by us, repeatable by us, if we mean them honestly, with full hearts, all things are possible. You want a history-changing example? A man named John Wesley, God ordained, maybe out of admiration for his father, who was a good vicar. But deep down, John knew he didn't have faith. For years, he struggled. He was on the point of giving up when a born-again Christian said to him, John, preach faith until you have it. Preach faith until you have it. The God-given words of Christianity have in them a creative radiance that can bring us, as we say them from our hearts, to the very throne of grace. John Wesley became a man of God and the founder of a great church, which today, this year's first Sunday, gathers us to hear God offer us a new covenant. Not like the one I made with your ancestors when I took them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they broke. But this is the covenant I will make with you. I will put my law within you. I will write it on your hearts. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And we've heard his promise that he loves our world so much he sent his Son, in whom was life, to become flesh and blood among us, full of grace and truth, who teaches us that God is compassionate and we are to be compassionate. Today we'll take God at his word, accept his promise, and respond in Christly words of faith that are filled with such love that if we can speak them in truth, there'll be a new life resolution that's the only one we'll ever need to make. Our bond with God, God's with us. And we'll take Holy Communion, receiving Christ in us to ensure that we shall and assure us that we can keep our word. So with Christ in us and with us, we'll go out to do the Christly things, lead the Christly life that lifts the world God so loves he sent his Son. What will we look like? Slower in some things, quicker in others, slow to resent, quick to trust, slow to hurt, quick to heal, slow to condemn, quick to forgive. Our love muscles strong now, so we can lift someone who needs help. For as the song went, he's not heavy. He's my brother. So will you now with me receive the invitation to communion, respond by confessing our sins, hear gratefully the words of pardon, then make our covenant with God. First, hear the invitation to the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray the words printed before us. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, I'll now read the words of John Wesley, calling us to renew our vow. And then together, following the words on the screen, we'll affirm our covenant together. These are John Wesley's words of call to reaffirm our vow. Dearly beloved, the Christian life to which we are called is a life in Christ. Upon this life we have entered, having been admitted into that new covenant of which our Lord Jesus is mediator, and which he sealed with his own blood that it might stand forever. On one side, the covenant is God's promise that he will fulfill in and through us all that he declared in Jesus Christ. His promise still stands. We are sure, for we have known his goodness and proved his grace in our lives day by day. On the other side, we stand pledged to live no more unto ourselves, but to him who loved us and gave himself for us and has called us to serve him that the purposes of his coming might be fulfilled. From time to time, we renew our vows of consecration, especially when we gather at the table of the Lord. And on this day, we meet expressly that we may joyfully and solemnly renew the covenant that binds us to God. So now, beloved, let us bind ourselves with willing bonds to our covenant God and take the yoke of Christ upon us. This accepting of his yoke means that we are heartily content that he appoints us our place and work, and that he alone be our reward. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honor, others reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and temporal interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is assuredly given us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make the covenant of God our own. Let us engage our heart to the Lord and resolve in his strength never to go back. Being thus prepared, let us now in sincere dependence on his grace and trusting in his promises, yield ourselves anew to him. Let's say the vow together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen.
And now turn in your hymnals to page 13 for the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery of sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Today is Covenant Sunday, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you might serve in the coming year. But as you do, I want to share with you what Asbury did in 2012. Here is a year in review. Lead you in 2013. Inserted in your bulletin this morning is an opportunity for ministry, and I invite you to prayerfully consider where you might go in the coming year. You also see at the very bottom it says other, and so we are not limited. The possibilities are endless. May the Lord lead us to new places, new opportunities in the coming year together as Asbury goes forth with a heart for mission. Amen. Amen. Well, now I invite you, if you would like to be an official part of the mission and ministry that we have here at Asbury, I invite you to come forward as we stand to sing our closing hymn. Let's stand and sing together.